Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word Parenting Podcast. I'm Grace Victory and I'm your host for this week. So, this week I'm during my period, so I am struggling with patience and energy. I feel fatigued. I want to be left alone in like a cold, dark room. But alas, I'm a mum, so I've got to carry on. A truly inspirational woman on more than one level joins us on Mum's the Word today. Natasha Sidhu gave up the security of a regular job that was well paid to follow her dreams and completely changed her life around. Getting out from under a career that was suffocating her to working out what her real passions in life were and how to turn that into a whole new life. Tasha's journey into motherhood has not been easy either. After multiple miscarriages, she thought being a parent may be something that was never going to happen for her and her husband. Until she found out she was pregnant again with triplets. Welcome to the podcast, Natasha. The last few years, non-stop for you. Mm-hmm. So you've got three kids.
Oh, yeah. That still blows my mind to say that.
That
yeah.
is wild. And they all came at once.
They did.
How did this happen?
Well, that old story. So I obviously, for people who don't know, had a little bit of a non-conventional way into motherhood, should we say. So I think it was back in 2019. Those kind of years were a blur to me, as everyone probably could agree, those last few years.
Yeah.
But it was 2019. Obviously, I'd been with my husband or boyfriend at the time then for like 10 years. We were very much like thinking, now's the time to probably start going out every weekend and doing that and like settle down. And obviously, we found out we were expecting. So for us, it was like just amazing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that pregnancy didn't end well for me. I miscarried. So I don't know about anyone else, but like I got to the age of 30 and just wasn't aware of things like miscarriage and loss. Wasn't something in my radar. None of my friends had done it. Lots of my friends were already pregnant or had one child, but going for their second. It just wasn't a thing, especially not someone of my age.
And
that didn't obviously go to plan. And I didn't kind of realise then how much I wanted to have a kid. Ryan was very much wanting to do this for years. It was always me who was very reluctant.
Career driven.
Oh, yes. I just loved doing my own things. We loved going on holiday every month. We would be like, let's just get in the car and go somewhere. I love that.
I'm pottering about.
I love a potter
in my own house.
In my own space, my own company. Oh, yes. I love that even more now that I know that it's very rare.
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you on that. But yes, obviously that didn't go to plan. And we then had the crazy idea to bring our wedding forward a year. That's
right.
A whole nother topic, shall we say. But yeah, we decided, I know what we'll do. We're not having
instead.
A baby. Let's have a baby. Let's have a wedding, sorry. And yeah, I decided to throw myself into that. And in three
was
months...
Do you think that was to get over the miscarriage?
100%. Mm. I felt like, because obviously it was our first baby, I really felt like our families were so excited. My parents were 60, never been grandparents before. It was the first time, like, someone in my family was having young kids. So it was, like, a big thing. We made a big thing when we told family members. So in my weird, warped way of thinking, it was like I'd given them such a great gift and it was my fault that it was taken away. So I just thought, okay, well, let's do
something else. What's the
next
best thing?
And I realised, in hindsight, the worst thing I could have done.
Right.
I planned an entire wedding, and I'm talking an outdoor, in a forest wedding at a venue that had no electricity, no toilets at the time. I mean, we chose probably the worst venue that you could have picked. I mean, it was a lovely venue, but when I realised the capacity and the sheer size and what had to go into planning that,
yeah,
I look back at it now and that is such a horrendous period of my life because for 3 months, it was like we swept the miscarriage under the carpet and I went head deep into this planning a wedding. I did the decoration. I did literally all of the logistics, had to source all of the... It was...
You were basically frantic.
Yeah.
Erratic.
Yeah, completely erratic. My parents couldn't say to me, especially my mum couldn't say, I don't think this is going to be a good... Yeah. Just don't do it. I was just purely focused.
Yeah.
Of course, the wedding went drastically wrong for me.
Really?
Yeah, so I only now... I've been married... What year are we in? What day is it? What's my name?
2024.
Yeah. So I've been married... some mental time. I've been married like 4 years.
Yeah.
I only now can listen to my wedding song. I can only now look at photos. And it's not necessarily about the wedding aspect. It's just... It reminds me of what was to come.
Right.
Because at that point, I had not experienced any kind of grief, depression, nothing.
Okay.
I purely miscarried, and the month later, wedding planning.
Wedding, yeah.
The wedding itself was an experience, shall we say. I mean, if you ask all my friends who were rolling around in the fields at 7 a.m, they had a lovely time. We went wild.
Yes.
And it was amazing from people's perspective who weren't trying to do it to... fill in a gap,
inside of you was a storm.
Because if things went wrong to start with, that I was then putting right with the wedding, for the wedding then to go wrong, no. And I can honestly say after my wedding, that was the worst period of time I've had with Ryan, who was my new husband, supposedly in this new
bubble.
Wedded bubble. I wanted to burst that bubble. We were probably the worst we've been in 10 years, that period after our wedding.
Trauma.
It was horrendous when I think about it. It's so bizarre. It feels like a lifetime ago now. But and I haven't really actually spoken about that side. When I think back to it, I think, wow, I did not know what was to come.
No.
So I would say that period went on for probably about 8 months where I then, you know, people say after a wedding... there's like a, not a wedding blues, but there's like a lull where I come down.
Mm.
But I'm coming down from a wedding and a miscarriage that I haven't actually dealt with. And yeah, all shit hit the fan, shall we say. And somehow, and I say somehow because I don't really know, I don't even feel we were on that level to even be intimate with each other. That's how, that's how much we were like not in a good place.
Yeah.
But I fell pregnant again later that year. And obviously at that point now I had been going through just a very, very big low. I don't think I'd really realised how bad things were.
Mm.
And this second baby was going to be, you know, the chance to fix everything.
The rainbow baby.
Oh, yes. And I just thought, look, I've had that happen once.
Yes.
It's obviously not going to happen this time. So let's just make the most of this experience.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy anything. Didn't tell anyone anything. Deep down thought, it can't happen again.
Yeah. What are the odds?
What are the odds? Well...
Yeah,
it happened again. And that was where I would say the decline.
Because you just think, what's the point?
Well, you think, what's the point? And you also think, there's no bloody way that this has happened once and it surely can't happen again.
Yeah.
It's got to have been a blip or some strange thing.
Yeah.
There's no way. No one, who of my age has had two, let alone one, but two. And yeah, I miscarried again. This time, though, I was in full deluded mode where I was... convinced that they got it wrong. I started really looking into things. I researched that sometimes they can tell you it's you've miscarried, but the heartbeats have appeared.
Denial.
Yeah, it's pure denial. And yeah, I ended up miscarrying. Didn't go in. They wanted me to come into the early pregnancy unit, and I was like, I'm not coming in just yet. I'm going to hold out. Kept thinking like this heartbeat was going to magically appear. And I just remember one day being at home. Obviously at this point I was still doing this job where I could hide myself from the world at home.
Yeah.
And I rang my mum who worked about 20 minutes away and I was like, Mum, I don't feel good. And I just remember her coming into the house and I was talking to her and all of a sudden it's like I turned to ice. The only way we can describe it is I was on the sofa and I was like, Mum, I can't get off the sofa. And I remember putting my hand out and everything just kind of froze. It was like my whole body had just purely froze. I know now it was going into shock. And I was like, Mum, I'm not feeling good. And I just started being able to not talk. My mum says it's really weird. I was just on the sofa and like I'd just frozen. And it was like something internally was happening.
Yeah.
So obviously an ambulance was called and everything. When the ambulance came and took me out on a full stretcher, they were like, oh, I think she's wet herself. Like, let's do this. And obviously it was pure blood. It was that much blood.
But that's what happened. So I hemorrhaged with Kimiko, mm-hmm. and I went stone cold because the blood loss was just leaving my body.
And it was so weird, but I was in motion, like, in motion of my hand, being like, Mum, it was like someone was stabbing me internally from there. Like, that's how I can describe it. The rest of it is quite a blur. I just remember being in the ambulance and I'd gone by then. I mean, that whole side of it was horrendous. I was left like in a corridor for hours.
Yeah, I heard about like this, the care around women that are miscarrying and like, it's horrendous.
Yeah, the first time I was given a piece of paper, this was my aftercare, put into a room onto, but bear in mind, I don't know if they can't help it, but it's done in a ward where people are doing early pregnancy scans. So you've got people coming out thrilled.
So happy,
Someone in the next room being delivered the worst news of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I left with a photocopied aftercare sheet where half of the photocopy wasn't even visible. And that was my aftercare. It was... The second time, obviously, when I'd gone into hospital, I was left, like I said, just in a corridor. They'd just given me basically a blanket over me while I'm literally bleeding everywhere. And this is what happened, right? And this part still blows my mind. And I would love to find this woman who was a doctor. I'm not sure what she specified in, but my mum was saying, like, outside, once we'd got into a room, like, can someone just come and check? No one's actually checked anything down.
What is happening? Yeah,
like, what is
her?
Happening? And the nurse was like, yeah, we'll find out. Anyway, later on towards evening, because I've been here now, like, for hours, and a doctor came past, popped her head, and she was like, oh, has anyone been in to see you? My mum was like, no one's been in. And she was like, let me just have a look. She went underneath, obviously did a quick examination. She was like, she ran out. She got a whole team in. Within 15 minutes, I was in theatre. So... it blows my mind, because what would have happened if I was left there? And she came. She was meant to leave work. I remember her saying she was meant to have left work. I was the last patient she'd come to kind of stick her head in to check.
Angel.
Yeah, she stayed.
Someone was looking over you.
She came to see me the next morning, and I never ever got her. She said, "I'm meant to start work, and I've come to see you." She said, "I've never seen anyone in the state you were in yesterday."
Just left there.
Yeah, and just how I was as a person, because she took me into the theatre. She was like, "I've just never seen anyone. How you were? I don't know what I must have been saying. I don't know what I was doing. I was so out of it." And she was like, "I just had to come and see you before my shift started." And she did say, "Like, I'm going to call you next week. By the time you're home and settled, I missed the call." She never left a voicemail. It was done, obviously, via NHS. It was like a withheld number.
Yeah.
I never found her. And I think about her often.
Who are you?
West Please. Middlesex Hospital. Lovely
Seriously.
Doctor. Yeah.
So you went from all of this trauma to conceiving triplets.
Yes.
Naturally.
Yes. And I'm trying to think of the timeline between that, because obviously I spiraled badly after the second time. That's when I got that. I can't imagine going any lower than that period of my life.
Yeah.
I ended up going to the GP, being taken by my husband and my mum, and
intervention.
Like, yeah, you're going. And I told that GP what I was considering, how I was feeling, what I wanted to do. And I was told in 2 weeks' time I'd get a phone call. And I told the GP at that point, I want to die.
Yeah, I'm suicidal.
That's how I said it. Yeah. And I was very blunt, didn't even like, couldn't bring my head up to look at her. I was literally head in lap, I'm going to kill my... Like, that's how bad it was for me.
Yeah.
And I've never really spoken about how bad it was, but it was bad.
I think as women and mothers, we are very good at, like, just putting a little plaster over things. Oh, yeah, I'm struggling, but, like, I'm functioning.
Yeah.
I'm struggling, but I can still do the washing up.
We don't have time to process it. That's the problem.
But it can be really bad.
Yeah. And for me, I now feel, because of the outcome of what happened, what would my outcome have been if this didn't happen? Mm. I don't know where I would be or who I would be if I would be here. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always shared my story, because I know there's millions of mums and dads to be, or parents who have gone through that, who are navigating that black hole that no one really wants to talk about, no one kind of addresses. And it is such a lonely, scary place to be, but hopefully my story does bring hope.
I'm obsessed with your children. the character. It's that age, isn't it? Like, I've obviously got a 3-year-old too, and it's the age. Wild.
When I say wild, let me emphasize on the wild, because, honey, every day is survival. I'm just trying to survive.
You've got a three.
Three who are soon to be three. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, game over for me.
And I feel like girls just have a sass about them, don't they? I just can't imagine Ryan in your house with you and three girls.
I can imagine it, and I'm here for it, because I think karma's come back to get you now, honey.
I love it.
I just think, oh, there's a reason. And I always do think that for some unknown reason, my peace is at the times when these babies were brought to me previously, I wasn't in the right space.
Yeah.
When I think back to it now, I wasn't in a strong relationship. I wasn't, you know, as stable as I was this time round. Because ironically, I ended up finding some private therapy, and I did that a really intense therapy session for 4 months. And it was the last session on the last day of that therapy I found out I was pregnant again. So my therapist, Mandy, I absolutely love you. She was the first person I ever told I was pregnant again. And I think Mandy was probably like, oh, Jesus Christ, because I've just come to the
end. How did you feel?
Horrendous.
Right. Mm.
There was no joy. There was no excitement. It was pure hell, because I've just worked so hard on myself to get myself out of was caused from the last two losses. Am I really now doing this again? And obviously it was that period between COVID and stuff. I know obviously everyone had completely different experiences with COVID, but the only blessing I can take from that is it allowed me to just be with myself. I wasn't able to run away from things. Ryan wasn't able to run away if we got into awkward conversation. It made me just slow down and really kind of close myself off to heal myself, if you know what I mean. And it was on that last day, and I just thought, oh my God, surely not. And at that point, I didn't know it was triplets.
When you found out it was triplets, what did you think?
So the week running up to my first scan, I refused to come in for any early scans. So this time I was like, I'm going to the main ward. I want to get to the main ward. Yes. That's the only place I'm going.
It's so important to take back that bit of control. Yeah.
I just couldn't do that. And unfortunately, that week I started bleeding again. And I just thought, someone up there is having me on.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was just like, nah, we're not doing this again. So that's it. Just cut it off now. I didn't allow myself to get attached. So that's fine. I just have to go in. And I had read, you do get bleeding.
Yeah.
It can happen, but
it's still the fear, isn't it?
Anyone who's had a miscarriage will know just sneezing too hard, just going for a wee leaves you with pure fear.
Every wipe I would do, I haven't had a miscarriage, but every wipe I've done in my pregnancies, I've literally looked every single wipe just to make sure.
Yeah, I've never for 7 months had a relaxing wee.
No.
Never.
Even in the poo, you're thinking, oh my God, if I push too hard, they might come flying out.
I mean, yeah, the lovely joys that go through parenting in pregnancy. But so I ended up going to the scan. We actually knew who we hoped was going to be our midwife. It was a family friend. Right. So she was like, look, I'm going to be there on the day. Just, you know, let's just come in. We're going to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, at this point now, I have gone into pure panic attacks the day of the scan. So I just can't even... The fact I never have to do a scan again is like, I've won the lottery of life.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do them. And I'd obviously gone in, they'd let Ryan come in with me for the first scan. And the lady just went quiet. My husband was like, can you just talk? Just tell us.
Just say.
I'm now hyperventilating. Yeah. I've had to be brought up. Shaking. I'm literally, I can't breathe.
I'm going to be sick.
They pulled me up. She's like, right, just lay down. And she's gone quiet.
I'm actually there with you right now.
So imagine this, my eyes are screwed tightly shut. Ryan's holding my hand. We are just like, I'm like, just tell me. But for some reason, I'm not able to talk directly to the women. It's going, I'm talking through, to Ryan.
Yeah, yeah,
who's
yeah.
He's
yeah,
relating
yeah.
to the women who's like 10 seconds away from me. Strange. And she was like, I don't know how to tell you this. And Mum was like, just tell us. And she was like, someone up there really wants you to be a mum. I'm seeing three heartbeats.
I've got goosebumps.
I just got shivers too. And Ryan went, what? I mean, he did say another word. And I just went, what did she say? I've still got my eyes closed. I never saw the first scan. I was just going, what? What did she say? Ryan's going, what the? And this just went on for like, it feels like an eternity. And the woman's going, this has never happened before. Like in 10 years, I've never had this before. Like, I'm going to have to go and get someone else. So we're now in this room. Going in feeling we're going to be told the worst news again,
and they
to
say,
be told this. Another lady doctor came in, confirmed. Well, I walked out of that room and I eventually managed to walk out to our friend who's the midwife, and she was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, she tells me, I'm like, just mascara.
Oh my God.
It was everywhere. She was like, I'm so sorry.
And you're like, no.
I was like, no.
This is shock.
There's three. She was like, what? And she says to me now, I still remember the conversation, because we had to go out to the car park and we're just like, what?
I can't even imagine that feeling.
It's so weird. I feel like that day was only the other day. I can remember that day like it was yesterday. And we left. Me and Ryan left just in pure numb confusion. Like, what? Like, how is that possible? And I remember to this day, we went to our favourite park. We just drove in the car and we were like, we need to get out. And we walked in our favourite park. And this story will never leave me. We walked and a rainbow appeared. Mm. It wasn't raining. There was a rainbow. I have a photo on my phone of that day in the park. A rainbow appeared. And for anyone who doesn't know, they call a baby born after loss a rainbow baby.
Yeah.
And weirdly, throughout my pregnancy, there were three odd occasions I saw rainbows. And it's just the world works in mysterious ways. And when I think back to things that got me through that, anyone who believes in that kind of spiritual stuff.
Yeah, are you spiritual?
I am spiritual. I'm very open to things.
Yes.
I'm here for it. Mm. If someone tells me tomorrow none of it is true, that's fine. It brings me calmness.
Peace.
It brings me peace. It brings me strength. I saw 11/11. I mean, I probably have thousands of photos on my phone from throughout my pregnancy where things have happened to me, weird things. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the universe telling me, just keep going.
Do you have an insatiable fascination with the paranormal? Brace yourself, for the supernatural world is about to reveal all of its secrets on the Paranormal Activity Podcast. And who better to guide you through this hair-raising journey than myself, Yvette Fielding, renowned paranormal investigator. Every episode of Paranormal Activity takes you on an unforgettable adventure into the unknown. But that's not all. The true heart of this podcast lies in the stories, evidence, and questions shared by our devoted listeners. Will you dare to join me? Listen to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, wherever you get your podcasts from.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I forgot to mention, obviously, we'd gone for a walk and an hour later we were called back to the hospital. So now we're like what's happened. It was a doctor wanted to see us, and so I'm like, they've got something wrong. This is wrong. And we were taken into the hospital room. We did end up moving hospitals after this because it was just a horrendous experience. But the doctor, with her back to us, as she's typing away, just said, well, we need to tell you now about triptan reduction. And she basically told us.
No, she didn't.
She did. I'm going to advise you now to reduce your pregnancy down to one or two. She said, and these are the words of how she said it. It's really simple. We just pick which fetus and we pop a needle through its heart. And in a few seconds, it's done. That was how we were told and introduced into
triplet herd,
or fetal reduction, which is basically where, and I understand the statistics and there's reasoning behind it. Delivery, though, absolutely not. And the reason of it is, obviously, it's so unnatural to have three natural pregnancies. There's such a high risk of things going wrong. It can be, you know, whether the babies are born so incredibly early that it leads to longer problems and so on, or that it's higher chance that they won't be born. You won't have three babies at the end. And then there was a lot of downsides, but if you go and do the triplet reduction, that can then bring on miscarriage. It was literally
like... I never knew it was a thing.
It's literally like baby roulette.
So you have the best news of your life.
Yeah.
And then you get told the worst.
Yeah, and we were told we had a week to make the decision.
Nah, this is too much.
She went, and if you decide against it, you need to start taking aspirin. And we were just like, sorry? Like, barely had even looked at us throughout this whole delivery.
Yeah.
And Ryan was very much like, just... please, can you go through the statistics again? I need to know the facts and figures. And I was like, it's not happening.
He's being the voice of reason. Yeah,
because in his mind, he was like, would being able to take home one baby be better than taking home none?
Absolutely not.
And for me, it was like...
No, I cannot, categorically cannot do this.
But he really did. I think, I know now when we talk about it, he was doing it for my purpose as well. He just thought, my God, how will we ever get through if anything happens here? And we ended up going, because it was 2 days before his birthday, we were going away on a trip. That morning, he'd gone out to get something from a shop and seen a friend who he was obviously not meant to tell what we first found out. He ended up telling him, and the guy was like, one of his friends was like, no, this is a gift. This is God's gift. You do not mess with God's gift. And Ryan's not religious at all, but he came home with the aspirin. And he was like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
That is the story of how I found out. And then, obviously, it was just 7 months of pure hell.
So, obviously, you're an influencer. Well, yeah. Obviously, she's an influencer. Creator. Incredible interior, style.
Thank you.
Just everything is just... your Instagram page is amazing. Was you doing that when you were pregnant? Or did have a job...
So I left my full-time job. I used to work in this city for like 10 years, very oddly, in cosmetics. So I used to work in non-surgical clinics.
Wow.
Worked with the same doctor for 10 years. It just wasn't my thing, but I'd started at 18.
That's so funny, because I don't see you doing that at all.
No, I never did. I used to moan about my job on a daily basis. But the money was good.
Yeah.
And I was young, and what do you want to do? Yeah. You want to go on holiday, shop? I could do anything. But I've always been a creative on the side. So I was always doing I used to have a vintage store on the weekend. So I'd fly to Amsterdam with my mum a few times a year, buy all my stock, and then sell at Old Spitalfields, Camden.
Wow.
That was how I got my fix for my creative outlet. Because I was not getting it in that job.
No.
But so I did that job for 10 years. And it was fine because obviously at the time we were trying to buy our first place. And it's a bit of a whirlwind how I ended up, decided to leave that job. Is our niece, who was two, around the girl's age, got diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer.
Right.
Thank God she's now 8 and perfectly healthy. But we were basically told that we needed to raise £250,000 to get her treatment in America. And we had to raise it in 6 months. And it was at the time when I was finding my job just so hard. I was literally getting on the tube crying in the morning, coming home from work crying. It was just not good for me or for anyone else there. And I just remember before this happened, being at work one day to one of the doctors, and I was like, just crying. I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. She was like, you shouldn't be here. You know that, don't you? And I was like, I know, but what's a job that's photography, travel, some fashion, interiors? What job does that? And this is before influencing. I hate that word.
It was a thing.
It was a thing. And I remember we wrote on a piece of paper, It's so funny. I wrote it all down, like, what job is that? And then it just somehow kept... yeah.
Here we are.
When we started the fundraising, it was like I was the only one who had any idea of how Instagram worked and things. So I just started fundraising and doing her a page to build kind of awareness of what was going on.
Yeah.
We did loads of events and everything, and that's how I learnt social media. And we actually raised the money in 5 months. So my niece
is now... you're a powerhouse.
I don't... It's weird. It's so bizarre to talk back about things that you've done.
Yeah.
I've never done
to
a podcast.
To reflect and be like, yeah. Wow, I actually am the shit. Like, you have gone through so much and experienced, like, devastation.
It's weird,
to then
yeah.
come out of it. And then when you reflect, you're like, wow.
And it's weird because I feel like I've just recently gone through a period again where I felt like... mentally not great, and then it takes a lot to come out of that, especially when you're now a parent and you've got three small children. But it's weird, it's when I look back at things and I suddenly go, do you know what, you've done all right.
Yeah,
you know, you've done things before, you can do it again. It's just, yeah, navigating.
How do you find motherhood? Because I find it hard.
Let me just take a sip.
I find it an unraveling. I just find it like it breaks me down to my core.
So, again, I will say my experiences with loss lead me to have maybe a different perception to motherhood. I feel I'm always playing this game of, I need to be alone. I really need to have some time alone. But you've waited a long time for this. Like, and it's really hard for people to understand because I never want to sound... I always feel like I have to justify.
I love my children, but...
Yeah. Because it's like, well, you wanted these kids so much and you went through so much. And then I go, yeah, no, I know. But it's always like, people never say it to me. It's more a battle internally.
Yeah.
But the thing I will say that I find the hardest is I'm doing this one time and one time only. It's not like parents who then go after a few years, oh, let's have another one. And everything you've learned from being a parent, a first-time mum, you now know not to do certain things, or you know ways that work better for you.
Yeah.
And you implement that on your second child.
Yeah.
Because most people will say, oh, the second one was a breeze, third one was a breeze, the first one I did not know what I was doing. But
for you
me,
got three all at once.
That's it. There's no learning curve. There's no time to put things into practice and know for next time, this is my one and only shot.
And why is that? You've decided no more children because it's too much.
Well, you know, the percentage of having multiples again is so high.
Really?
Yes,
could you imagine?
There'll be three boys. No, I for me, you know, it would happen.
That would 100% happen.
But for me, I think I always, in, you know, when you're young and naive, oh, I'd love to have two children.
Yeah, no.
A boy and a girl, like all that naivety. No, I'd just like them to be alive and healthy. That's how I viewed it. And I got a bonus one on top. So for me, I don't feel the need to have any more children.
And I love their names.
Yes, I'm glad you do. And most people react nicely when I tell them, but you get the odd person who's like,
I get
oh.
That yeah.
But I just think... What, it's 2024.
What did you want to be called? Susan?
Yeah, and you've got to think of three names that work well together, that work with the surname. You know, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I knew I wanted strong, short, memorable names for girls. But to be honest, the names could have worked for boys as well.
They're just incredible.
Thank
and
you.
Ryan, so your husband.
Yes.
Has he been... Because what I find... is that children can really have an impact on your relationship.
Yeah.
So has he been a support?
Yeah.
But also, has he been annoying? Because my partner...
Well, let me tell
gets
you.
...gets on my nerves.
He got on my nerves before we had kids. You know what? I met Ryan when we were, like, 20. I'm now 34. So I've done pretty much my whole adult life with this person. And we... had so much fun in our 20s. We were just wild. We just ended up in weird places, doing strange things, meeting the coolest people. Like, we had that fun. I think for me, it was getting to the point that I'm ready to change the chapter. And I have to say, our relationship is a million times better, stronger, more fulfilling, just everything since we had children. I just feel I've seen a new... Ryan still loves a party, so he's still a bit of a wild child, but he is the best dad, just
but
the best.
But now I know where your children get their wildness
from. I didn't
from.
Say husband, I said best dad. No, he's still, I think, a lot has gone on between us, I think, over the last however many years. And it's not until I think now, because we got a happy ending, we're able to talk about some of the stuff where I felt massively let down, shall we say, when I went through the miscarriages. I felt like abandoned, that's the word. But I realise now it's because he was also going through trauma and grief, but his way of dealing it was to run for the hills and kind of go out and do stuff, whereas mine was to hide from the world.
Yeah, stay in.
And it wasn't until I was actually invited back from the people who did my therapy to do like a chat and a presentation for all their fundraisers and volunteers. And he came to it, and it's the first time he's heard me say a lot of the things I've said. And he was just in tears in the front row. And I think that was a massive turning point for us, because I think he heard things not from me saying it to him, maybe a naggy or an upset way. I was saying it openly, like...
To all these people.
Who were also reacting like, what on earth? Like, it just brought us a lot closer. He's great at knowing I need to have some time. He's completely deluded, though, may I say, in like how it works with having kids all day. Because obviously I still work from home with the girls. I have my mum, who is like my biggest...
She's the village. The mum, your mum is the village.
Vivian the village, yes. She is what keeps me going on a daily basis. But I think Ryan's just a bit unaware, because obviously he doesn't see the other things that go into a lot of things, like raising a family, like... looking after the house. I mean, I like to cook for the girls, 99% home-cooked meals.
Yeah.
Ryan will do the cooking for us. So we have a lot of leveling like that. But like, if I'm out for a day and he's got them, and he's like, he said it to me the other day, and I just thought, you did not just that. It's quite easy. And I thought, yes, my children look like they've been dragged for a bush backwards. They're probably in crap all day.
The house is
the house looks like state. But they've had a lovely time. Yeah. And I think you haven't done anything else that you needed to do. So sometimes it's still just saying things, you know, there's a lot more that a lot of people do that aren't always noticed. You're not going to notice that.
It's the invisible load, isn't it?
The invisible load.
The mental load as well.
Yeah, and that's the part I think I find hard, because I sometimes just want to be thanked for things that I do on a daily basis that actually have nothing to do with me.
Like replacing things, like the toothpaste.
Replenish.
Does that just appear?
The house. I can't.
Like the toilet roll. There's so much.
The clothes just like strategically placed next to the wash bin.
Oh my God.
It's a lot. I've gone from like just looking after myself. We were both independent, looking after ourselves on our own.
Yeah.
You know, and now I've got like three kids that, let me tell you, that is a tornado that just doesn't stop from 5:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And by that time, I'm shattered. So
sanity is gone.
Yeah, it's like a 3 p.m. decline, I say. If you want anything from me, have it before 3 p.m. because after that, it's not happening.
So no more children. But what is next for you? Is there like, do you want to do a book?
I've always wanted to write a book.
Really?
Yeah, so my granddad was actually an author, so I have that in the genes.
Yes.
I would love to write a book, basically on the story, but digging a bit deeper. There's lots of things that I've never divulged
too much in.
Yeah, and I've never gone that deep into how bad things were. And I think it would be helpful. I get hundreds of messages from people who say, because I was very unaware of how to approach it, obviously, afterwards, because I'd shared my miscarriage struggles and I'd shared my battle with mental health online. So it felt only natural to then share, I'm having three kids, plus I have no time to do anything else. So here are my children. But I was very nervous to share it for the community of people who've gone through miscarriage or fertility problems, because I know how much it was a kick in the gut to hear pregnancy announcements from other people.
Yeah.
But so many have stayed, and so many have gone out of their way to say, like, we've kept with you because it brings us hope, or it makes us feel like this isn't our future, or something like a miracle can happen.
Something's going to happen.
So I feel book. I would love to do that. I would love to do something like that. And I'm always someone who's looking for the next thing. And I've just really learnt lately, just stop for a second.
Yeah.
Work is something I love to do. Work keeps me sane, but it's also my creative outlet. So for me, I have to have something.
Yes.
You'll probably see like now on Instagram, I'm finally getting around to doing like my interior stuff and my DIYs. And that is what brings me joy and recharges me up.
And it's yours.
It's mine.
It's not Mum, Natasha. It's you. Yes. What you like to do, and it's so important to keep that.
Yeah, I can't function if I don't have that time alone. We've been like getting up at silly o'clock in the last kind of year, getting in, like started running, doing things. I know people hate it when people go, I get up at 5:30 in the morning, but do you know what? It keeps me sane. So anytime I'm not able to do that, I notice the effect of just not having that 1 hour to myself before my day starts. But yeah, I get help now with my mum and dad who have the girls in the week so that I can have a day to do. It's not even fun stuff.
No.
It's the life admin. I mean, do you know how much admin goes into 3 appointments for things? I mean, I don't even want to know what happens when they start school.
Appointments and oh my God, dang.
I know.
And they're not in nursery yet, are they, or anything?
No,
Forest school.
I want to do forest school because you're loving the forest. No, that's a bit of me, isn't it?
Your kids need to be in forest school.
It'll probably cost me about 10 grand.
No, they get free 15 hours a week.
I didn't know forest school was included in that.
Oh, yeah, babes. We'll talk after.
Oh, okay.
I've loved having you on.
I've loved being here.
Natasha, everyone.
Thank you, Grace. Love you lots.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. We love to hear from you. Get in touch on WhatsApp, where you can send us a voice message for free on 07 599 927 537. Email us at askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.